This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree.
Christmas is you. It's a goodie. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Malloy Show. I am Paul Malloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, all we want for Christmas is for you to listen to us. So thank you for joining us. Hey, it's a week before the big day, is it not? Today, Monday, December the 18th. We have a lot going on. In a few minutes, Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation will be with us. We are going to talk about the Supreme Court's decision to take up a case on access to the abortion pill, mifepristone. And the question is this: should it continue to be easily available? So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And Hunter Biden is not the only Biden sibling with tax problems. Now his sister is under the IRS microscope. We will tell you all about it. And Donald Trump's former immigration enforcement director says that if the Donald is reelected, look for a historic deportation. So we will give you the details on that as well. And then our ultimate top 10, keeping up with Christmas, the top 10 best Christmas toys for 2023. That'll be towards the end of the show. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by the best place to get a Christmas haircut, Andrew's Master Barbershop, in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, look your best for Christmas. A great haircut at a great price in Dunedin. Call for your appointment first, would you? 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's, hey, if you need a Christmas tree cut down, it's Arbor Life. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, Christmas trees, stump grinding, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for a free estimate, would you? 727-330-1999. So I guess Donald Trump is getting a couple of Christmas presents early. A new Fox News poll shows the Donald keeps gaining ground in the Republican primary as fewer than one-third of GOP primary voters in the survey now back all the other rivals to Donald Trump combined. Now, Trump's support is at 69%. That's up 7 points since last month and 26 points since February. So whatever he's doing, it's working. Ron DeSantis gets 12% support. That's down a point. Nikki Haley gets 9%. That's down about a point and a half. Vivek Ramaswamy gets 5%. That's down 2. Chris Christie, why is he still in the race? He's at 2%. That's down a point. And then, did you know that Asa Hutchinson is still running? He's got 1%. He's steady. He's steady. He didn't lose any points.
His mother voted.
So there you go. When asked about their second choice, the top picks among Trump supporters, Ron DeSantis, 50%. Ramaswamy comes in second in this one at 20%. And Nikki Haley's at 14%. Now, you know what? Who knows, right? You don't know, but it's a snapshot in time. It's kind of interesting.
When you say, well, wonder what Donald Trump is doing to make these polls seem wider and wider, but I don't think he's doing anything. I think when you factor in that these debates are going nowhere, then nobody's stepped forward and changed anybody's mind. Then you've got the media that's still plugging away at him to put him in jail, no matter what, whether he's guilty or not.
Now they're misstating what he said about illegal immigrants. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the one that with Carson Tucker that he said. Tucker Carlson, what is it? Tucker Carlson.
Oh, yeah, Tucker Carlson.
He said, are you going to do anything the first day back if you're president?
Well, that was with Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, that was
That's
Hannity.
All right.
And then he said, are you going to do anything? He said, I'm going to drill, baby, drill. I don't know anywhere
the border
he said,
and drill, baby, drill.
Yeah, I don't know anywhere where he said, I'm going to be a dictator.
Right. No, the question was, are you ever going to be a dictator? And he said, only on day one.
Yeah.
And he was making a joke.
But you could have 5 seconds later turned over to CNN, and they're talking about
he's going to be a dictator. He says he wants to be a dictator.
Nobody was more of a dictator than Joe Biden on day one. How many executive orders did he write that day? It was historic. The amount he couldn't get an eraser big enough. He went after our energy right away.
He shut down any further discussion of the pipeline and then fossil fuels. He was going to knock those right out of the box. Anyway, also, speaking about some of the Fox News surveys, while the economy is still the most important issue facing the country, a new Fox News survey says the number of registered voters who feel that the border security should be the top priority is up 8 points since August. I'm not surprised to hear that at all. Landing it firmly in second place behind the economy. The latest Fox News poll, it was released yesterday, says 8 in 10 voters think the situation at the border is either an emergency or a major problem. 8 in 10. That is similar to views in October overall, except voters then were more likely to classify it as an emergency rather than a major problem. So anyway, 80% of the people in this country think there's something wrong at the southern border. That's all you got to know about
and
that.
And it's going to do nothing but get worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw in the news that the cartel was giving out places where they could get away, get across.
Oh,
free
yeah.
and clear, only to clog up certain areas so it frees up other areas where the cartel can get their drugs and human trafficking across. And then the fact is that word's going to spread to these people that, listen, if you want to get into America, you better do it now before Biden's elected is voted out.
Yeah, you're right about that as well. Well, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Sarah Perry is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation. We are going to talk to her about the High Court's decision to hear a case to access the abortion pill mifepristone. And the question is this, should it continue to be so easily accessible?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Love that Christmas music. Frosty the Snowman. Delighted to be here on a Monday with you guys. And we're delighted to have back Sarah Perry, who is a senior legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation. And we are going to talk with Sarah about the Supreme Court's decision that they will agree to hear what amounts to the accessibility, I guess, of the drug... I guess it's pronounced mifepristone. I don't know why I have trouble with it. But it's accessibility. Now, the court is addressing the FDA's decisions in 2016 and in 21 to drop the safety rules, not its original approval. So, Sarah, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you. And this is an interesting case. Boy, the Supreme Court is busy. Why do you think they are taking this particular case up right now? Or deciding to take it up, I should say.
Well, I think this is a case that is not just about abortion, but really about how much power we want to give regulatory agencies. They want to make sure that everything the executive branch does is above board and has a reasonable explanation for it. So the reason that they've taken this up is because coming out of the Fifth Circuit, there were two decisions at issue for the FDA. One was the decision in 2016 to loosen certain regulations, and then the decision in 2020 to allow abortifacients, these abortion pills, to be sent through mail by mail order pharmacies. This is a question of whether or not those decisions made by the FDA without any explanation whatsoever were what the Supreme Court uses as its standard, which is, were they arbitrary and capricious? Did they make these decisions without any reasonable explanation or justification whatsoever?
Yeah.
And I think that this group of doctors has made a very clear argument that they did.
Well, you know, as soon as you said sending it through the mail, my ears went up. I mean, if it's that easy to access, then anybody could get their hands on these pills, right?
That's exactly it. And there is absolutely no safety restriction whatsoever. We have no idea how they'd be used, whether or not they could be facilitated through the black market, whether they could be used by a coercive boyfriend or spouse to say, I don't want the kid, you're going to take it. There are so many safety precautions that we've eliminated by sending them through the mail, yeah. Not to mention the fact that it's actually a violation of federal law, of a law called the Comstock Act, to send abortion pills through the mail. So a lot of questionable decisions on the part of the FDA, and if you'll remember, there was an original approval back in the year 2000. That's not at issue because the lower court decided that the doctors had challenged the original approval too late. But in their original approval, they had to classify pregnancy as a serious or life-threatening illness in order to get it fast-tracked. And that doesn't pass the smell test.
No, that's crazy. You know, you don't know for sure what a pill like that could do to your insides. I mean, you know, these days, it's, let's face it, you know, if you want to get an abortion, you can find a, you can find somewhere where you're able to do it pretty much. And these pills, I suspect that you have to be, it has to be a very early portion of your pregnancy to have these pills do you any good. Is that correct? I mean, after a certain point, the pill is not going to be a very helpful, right?
Well, that's exactly it. And unfortunately, one of the things that the FDA decided to do in 2016 was to extend the use of these pills, not just from the original 7 weeks of pregnancy, which is very early on in the pregnancy, to 10 weeks of pregnancy. And the horror stories of some of these women who've actually experienced these without a doctor's oversight really make your blood boil. It's really disheartening to know that such a significant expansion of the use of this pill without any medical oversight is something that the FDA thought could pass legal muster. We don't think it can.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. To have somebody with some pregnancy just taking these pills, mail order or whatever, without a doctor overseeing all of this, watching out for this person, making sure everything is working out correctly, it just seems like we're losing control of the whole process. So, getting back to the Supreme Court, what will it actually be looking at? The accessibility of women at, based on age, and also the viability of the baby, et cetera, or what are the details
on that? They'll be guided strictly by what the FDA decided to do in 2016 and in 2020. Remember that the FDA's job is to make sure that the public is safe. That is their number one agency directive. And abortion pills carry a complication rate 4 times that of surgical abortion. That is significant in the first year of the use of mifepristone and what's called Mifeprex, that's the commercial name. There were 4,000 adverse incidents and 24 deaths. Well, in 2016, the FDA decided we don't have to require adverse incident reporting anymore. Well, shockingly, of course, suddenly adverse incident reporting disappeared. So, of course, it made the pill look safer. That's because the FDA decided to eliminate the reporting incident altogether. It was self-fulfilling prophecy. So they'll strictly look at, did the FDA follow the law? Did it make choices in the best interest of public safety and welfare? And did it follow the statute? And I think very clearly that they're going to send the FDA back to the drawing board where they were back in the year 2000. That means the abortion pill will still be accessible. This isn't a question of whether or not you can get it at all. It's a question of how easily you can get it.
Right.
But I think specifically for drugs like this, they need to exercise the utmost care.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking with Sarah Perry. She is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese Center. And we're talking about the decision by the Supreme Court to hear about abortion pill mifepristone and its accessibility. Its accessibility, how easy it is to get the drug. Now, Sarah, apparently an alliance of pro-life doctors that have treated post-abortive women have sued to restore safeguards. Is that what kind of prompted this whole thing?
That's exactly it. And in fact, some of these same doctors were the ones who tried to challenge the approval originally back in the year 2000. They submitted what's called a citizen petition. And The FDA has regulations that allow individuals like you and me say, listen, I have firsthand experience with this drug, and it's unsafe because of X, Y, and Z. Well, they filed that challenge, unfortunately, too late, according to the Fifth Circuit. So they're not able to challenge the original approval at all. But they have challenged the 2016 and 2020 decisions. And one of the procedural questions that's arisen has been whether or not an association of doctors like this have what's called standing. That means the injury sufficient to be redressed or fixed by a court of law. That's required by Article 3 of the Constitution. It has to be what's called an active case or controversy. Mm-hmm. And so what the Department of Justice has argued is that these doctors don't have standing because really they haven't been hurt in any way. And the doctors have countered by saying, actually, to the contrary, we care for post-abortive women, and we have had to perform everything from surgical D&Cs to blood transfusions, and we're going to have to do more of it now that these safety regulations have become even less significant.
So will the Supreme Court be also determining whether or not these doctors have standing?
That's exactly it.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Going to be the one procedural question that they'll have to face before they get even to the substance of whether or not they followed the law in the first place.
So, Sarah, in your opinion, do you think the Supreme Court will determine that these pro-life doctors have the standing?
I think they will. And in fact, the Supreme Court has held in previous cases that the occurrence of a future injury doesn't necessarily require someone to have to prove that it's imminent now. In other words, is there a substantial likelihood that in the future these doctors will be harmed by having to dedicate more time, more resources, more counseling, more post-abortive care to these individuals? And I think the answer to that is very clearly yes. The Supreme Court under this headship with Chief Justice John Roberts wants to make sure both federal agencies are following the letter of the law. We have a lot of textualists on the court. And they also want to make sure that individuals who have suffered both past harms and are certain to suffer future harms get their day in court.
Yeah. So first they get the standing issue passed. Then is this going to be like, once that's okay, they're going to immediately go into the accessibility situation?
That's exactly it. In
okay.
fact, how the opinion will be written is very likely just that. They will address first whether the doctors have standing, and then they'll address whether or not the FDA followed the letter of the law when it made these significant eliminations in safety restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is such an important case. Most people don't even know about this thing. I would suspect that there's going to be a lot of women that are going to be very, very interested to see exactly where this situation will go. Do you know how common, the usage of this particular drug is with women?
Absolutely. Absolutely we do, Paul. And I got to tell you, it's jaw-dropping. In fact, the abortion pill accounts for 50% of American abortions.
Oh, boy.
So
oh.
It just indicates to you exactly how significant this decision actually is, because it doesn't just go to really how often people are using the drug, but under what conditions and whether those conditions are safe. And you have minors who we know are getting access to this drug. Young girls, 14, 15, 16, who are finding themselves pregnant and who are faced with this decision and are taking these pills without any studies whatsoever, any data on how safe it is for these young girls.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to ask you about the long-term effects of taking this drug like this.
They're significant. They're absolutely significant, and it includes everything from pelvic inflammatory disease to blood clots. This is not simply a Tylenol, and I think a lot of what we're hearing from the left on this, that narrative, is entirely misplaced.
Boy, oh boy, this is an important case. Sarah, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. I'm just delighted that we had this opportunity. Thank you so much. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. I know we'll be talking again in the new year.
Merry Christmas to all. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sarah Perry. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Hunter Biden is not the only Biden sibling with tax problems. His sister is under the IRS microscope. We are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, he'll be here soon. Good old Santa Claus, St. Nick. Well, I just see here on the wire that Joe Biden is apparently privately upset by poor poll numbers. He has delivered a stern message to his top aides. How dare you allow my numbers to go down to the toilet? I guess that's what it's all about. I actually can't get into the details on the story, but he's finally realized. Did someone finally tell him?
Well,
maybe he didn't know.
How, if you're an aide, how do you defend him?
I know. Say, that's what I'm wondering.
Listen, Joe.
What, you going to smack him around?
We haven't lost our way to the podium. We know where it is. We don't keep falling down and telling stories and getting names wrong and all that stuff. We got you an earpiece, and you still can't get it right.
Maybe he's blaming them for using the term Bidenomics. Maybe it's their fault.
Well, he liked it when it first came out.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Joe, Hunter Biden is apparently not the only sibling of Joe's to owe the IRS. Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's daughter, apparently owes about $5,000 in income taxes. Which started in 2015. That is according to a recent tax lien. Liens are legal claims, by the way, imposed by the government on a property or whatever to secure the unpaid money. The Pennsylvania Department of Revenue in Philadelphia notified Joe Biden that the amount of unpaid taxes, interest, additions and or penalties is a lien in favor of the Commonwealth. So remember when Biden was talking about going after tax cheats? It was a big deal. Yeah. You know, everybody's got to pay their fair share. I guess everybody except his family.
His family.
All right. Now, God, poor old Joe. Even Obama says Joe Biden could lose. Barack Obama, reportedly concerned about Joe Biden's prospects for next year's election, and is telling Democrats he very well could lose. A person described by the Wall Street journalist familiar with Obama's thinking, however that works, said that the former president was troubled. Donald Trump has edged ahead in the polls, and concerns about the president's age, the immigration situation, Israeli policy, Biden's economic plans are all denting Obama's confidence. Well, there you go. That's one more guy. He loses Barack. That would be kind of scary, would it not? In the meantime, here in Florida, there is a little bit of trouble with the chairman of the Florida Republican Party. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Christian Ziegler? Apparently, he and his wife were doing a menage a trois with another woman. Now, Ziegler has been suspended because apparently the other woman says that he assaulted her. This move adds to calls by Governor DeSantis and other politicians for Ziegler to step down while they investigate the whole thing. He's accused of, raping a woman with whom he and his wife, who, by the way, is the co-founder of the Moms for Liberty. Her name is Bridget Ziegler. They had a consensual sexual relationship going on, according to police records. But one day, when they were going to get together, he was the only one that showed up. And apparently, she didn't want to have the menage a trois without all trois of them. And she's not accused of any crime herself. That is the... Bridget Ziegler, who is the wife. It's kind of messy.
I know, but I would be careful with that because it's kind of a freaky situation to begin with.
Yeah, it is.
But that's their business.
Yeah, it is. But
But
if you're like the chairman of the Republican Party in Florida, don't do this kind of nonsense.
Paul, come on.
I know, but you know, if it ever gets out, the Democrats are going to jump on it.
Half those politicians are doing freaky stuff.
They are.
But, I mean, when it goes to rape, but I always thought you were innocent until proven guilty.
Well, of course you are.
Now, if you're going to suspend him or fire him, and it comes back that the woman lied.
Correct. But right now, while you're trying to run for president, and this is going on in Florida, it doesn't look good.
I know. They're going to tie him to that, but it's not like DeSantis was the fourth party involved.
True.
He had nothing to do with it.
Of course, he didn't. But you know what I'm saying. And when something like this happens, you know the Democrats are gleeful, first of all, that this is going on. They want us to stay in front of the Tampa Bay Times. Tampa Bay Times is going to splatter this all over there.
Anytime the Democrats bring up anything freaky like that, all you got one name to bring up, and that'll shut them up, and that's Clinton.
Yes. Hey, speaking about that, I have a story I've been holding on to for a while. Did you know that a bunch of Republicans want to get access to the flight log of all of those plane trips that went to that island? Let me find the story, first of all. Here it is. Jeffrey Epstein's Island. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been calling for that.
This?
Because I know that island. There's only one way
to
get...
been there?
I know St. Thomas.
Yeah.
There's only one way to fly in there.
You have to land at St. Thomas?
You have to land in St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. Now, you can take a ferry over to St. John. And you know what else is there? Water Island. That's where the Bidens have their summer home.
So, it's on the St. John's Island area?
No, it's sort of in between St. Thomas and St. John.
Okay. I've been to St. Thomas.
It's about... 10 miles, not even 10 miles offshore.
Got it. Well, calls are growing for Congress to subpoena Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs in order to identify possible sex trafficking perpetrators. In a letter to the House Oversight Committee, Republican Congressman Tim Burchett said that there were still many unanswered questions about Epstein's operation, including the identities of, quote, America's most powerful and well-known people who may have been involved. He says the American people have a right to know who took part in Epstein's disgusting business that ruined so many lives. Burchett also accused Senate Democrats of blocking efforts by Senator Marsha Blackburn, she's a Republican from Tennessee, in her attempt to subpoena the flight logs of Jeffrey Epstein's flight trips. So, you know, what's going on? How come the Democrats don't want that opened up? Well, we know why they don't want it opened up. There's a bunch of Democrats that were on those flights.
No, when they're talking flight trips, they're talking about, because the only way to get to the island other than boat, he's got a heliport there.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So you'd have to take a helicopter ride from St. Thomas to there. Now, St. John has no airport, period. So it's narrowed down between St. Thomas and St. Croix. St. Croix is about a 40-minute flight from there and about a 2.5-hour boat ride.
Oh.
So most likely you'd have to go into St. Thomas.
So generally you'd fly to it.
Or Puerto Rico. Now, these are all U.S. territories.
I see. Well, Marsha Blackburn first moved for the flight records to be subpoenaed in early November in response to efforts by Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee to go after Supreme Court justices. So this was kind of like, well, you're going after Clarence Thomas and some of these other people. We want to see the flight logs. And that's where all of this started, apparently. Blackburn says this: Democrats do not want to have a conversation about the estate of Jeffrey Epstein to find out the names of every person who participated in his human trafficking ring. Dubbed by some as the Lolita Express, Epstein's plane was allegedly used to fly underage girls to his private island in the Caribbean, as well as his other homes around the U.S. and other parts of the world.
When they say his private plane to fly him to his island, that's not true. A plane could not land on his island.
Oh, I see.
It would have to land in St. Thomas.
Yeah, so what? But
so the tower logs would have to show him.
So the plane is going to St. Thomas, but it's Epstein's plane. They want to see who is on Epstein's plane to go to St. Thomas to get on the helicopter or the boat.
Right.
Okay. Says here, a number of big-named actors, politicians,
I'm sure there's a big
and other public figures have reportedly been passengers. We start headed by Bill Clinton. But you know what? It says here Donald Trump might have been on that flight, too. Interesting.
I don't care. Listen, expose them all.
Robert Kennedy Jr. might have been on that flight.
Expose them all.
Actor Kevin Spacey and Chris Tucker might have been on that flight. Prince Andrew.
I think
the brother of King Charles might have been on that flight.
All the way back to this guy hanging himself.
Bill Gates might have been on that flight. Yeah. Guess what? There's a bunch of guys that probably didn't want Jeffrey Epstein to talk.
Oh, absolutely.
He might have been assisted in his suicide, as they say.
He had the perfect setup there. That sick SOB.
Yeah.
He had the perfect setup with his own island, and he could control who was coming in and going out.
Whatever happened to that woman that was his buddy? That can't they get the info out of her? I can't think of her name either. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters. But I think she
would know.
I think she'd rather lay low than
Well, I know she'd rather lay low.
Have an accident in jail like he did.
Well, that's right. I understand that. I'm just saying it would seem to me that they could get some of that info out of her. But anyway. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right. Let us take our final break. When we come back, a couple of things. Donald Trump's former immigration enforcement director says that if the Donald is reelected, look for a historic deportation and the top 10 best Christmas toys for 2023.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal. You get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And we're delighted that you found time to listen to us today. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Ed, all of our shows are on podcast. He puts everyone on podcast. All you got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top, and it'll open up to show you, first of all, the guests that the you'll see the most recent shows at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest. You'll see the top 10, all of it. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. So, the former acting immigration and customs director for President Trump when he was in office, the guy's name is Tom Homan, wants to unfreeze the agency, and he wants to help launch a massive and historic deportation program if Trump gets back in the White House. Homan promised no illegal immigrant would be off the table for enforcement. He was honored during the Obama administration, Homan was, for his role leading ICE's enforcement and removal operation, which arrests and removes illegal immigrants. He's a former New York police officer. He's also a former Border Patrol agent, and he calls the article a badge of honor and has a, about his enforcement and removal project, and has it framed in his office. So I guess I wonder if Trump would rehire this guy to help get a lot of these people out of the United States. He has fiercely defended the agency's conduct under his watch against left-wing attacks, getting into viral spats with people like AOC, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and also this Pramila Jayapal from Washington. She's a Democrat, during these congressional hearings. So Trump is the front runner right now, and I'm just wondering if he would put this guy back in that position. I would suspect he might. Now, Trump is accused of saying, and I didn't hear the quote exactly, that a lot of the people coming across the border are, did he use the term infecting the population or something? He used a very negative term.
Well, it was twisted at one point when he said that these people that are coming across are, what he said, this is what he said, these people that are coming across are also rapists, murderers, robbers.
A lot of them are.
He didn't say they all were.
No, but he said.
But now it's like, just come on over. We don't care what you are.
The media,
the mainstream media and Democrats are saying, you know, he's trying to throw a blanket over sure. every immigrant and as infecting America, which he did not. He didn't say that.
No, but if he is reelected and he does go after the people that are here illegally, that's the word, illegal, not undocumented workers or anything like that, illegal.
You're right.
If he goes after those people that are here illegally, he's going to be called a racist because he's going after those people. To me, this is my thoughts. If I were elected president, I would say, listen, this is to all the people that are here illegally. You have 90 days to register in this country, and we'll take up your case on a case-by-case decision on whether you stay or go. But those of you that don't register, when we find you, you're out, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah.
At least giving them some chance.
It's so hard once they're here to get them out. But
they under Paul. Listen,
I agree with you.
If they can take our free cheese and milk card, go down to the thing, and
there's no question about they shouldn't be here. No question about it. The trick is to get them back, and like you say, you know, figure out a way to start deporting those that shouldn't be here.
Well, then you're going to have, my baby was born here.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
And he said, yeah, exactly. So that's, and Republicans are afraid of those shots of the mother with the little child being forced to leave the country.
Got to remember AOC down with the cages.
Of course.
Crying for the children.
Of course.
But she's not there now.
No, she's not. No, no. All right, before we get to our top 10, and we have a very good one, we think, a very appropriate one. Top 10 best Christmas toys for 2023. We had an interesting game. The Buccaneers went up to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they won.
Well, they
tell
kinda,
us about
they
that.
They kind of blasted them. The Bucs went up there, and our quarterback, Baker Mayfield, had a perfect game. And all around perfect. You know what? I'd even go to say that anybody you put in front of them yesterday, they might have beaten.
So they looked good to you.
They looked on mark, and finally Baker Mayfield was evidently the playbook was opened up and said, okay, yeah, why don't you try throwing to that guy and that guy, and it all opened up. But I can tell you the most interesting game yesterday involved your Chicago Bears.
Oh, tell me about it. They lost, unfortunately.
They were playing the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
And the Bears were leading, and then Joe Flacco, who's 152 years old, ties up the game, and then they kick a field goal, and they're up by three.
Yes.
Last chance play for the Bears. They heave-ho from the 50-yard line in the end zone. It ricochets off about 17 people and lands in the lap of a Chicago Bear in the end zone. And he decides to play volleyball with it.
Yes.
And
I watched it.
And then passes it off to a defender. But that was that close.
It was that close.
To pulling that one out.
I know.
They could have made the highlight reel forever.
It was a heartbreaker to see that. But it's unfortunate. But getting back to the Bucks, they are now, I think, at 500.
They are.
And they are in first place.
They are in first
place. By themselves, correct?
No.
Oh, I thought they were in first
place. The Saints are also 7-7.
Oh.
But The Bucks have the tiebreaker. Now, the Bucks will be home.
Oh, they have the tiebreaker with the Saints. The
Bucks will be home Christmas Eve against the Jaguars, and then their next game will be home against the Saints.
Oh, wow. So that'll be a...
That could decide everything.
Yeah.
In other words, if they win this week against at home against the Jaguars, and they beat the Saints, they've wrapped up the NFC Central.
So they need to win both.
Oh, South. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If they win the two, if not, they're going to have to win two out of three and hope that the Saints lose at least one.
Well, I'm glad that they're still in the hunt.
Well, they're in the driver's seat.
They are in the driver's seat. Didn't, also, one other game real quickly. Didn't Kansas City, did they not lose?
They won yesterday.
Oh, they won. Who did they beat? That's all right.
I forget.
Was it Buffalo?
No, that was last night. They whooped up on Dallas last night.
That's right. Buffalo whooped up on Dallas. Yeah. I'm getting all my teams mixed up. That was kind of interesting, that game, too. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed. And you got to put your Santa Claus hat back on and get on the drums. These are the 10 best Christmas toys for 2023. By the way, it comes from the London Telegraph newspaper. So it has a little bit of a British bent to it, all right? But these are the Telegraph apparently consulted experts to compile a list of this year's top 10 most popular kids' toys. So here we go, number 10. And tell me, Ed, if you have any of these in your possession. Number 10 is Play-Doh Ultimate Ice Cream Truck. It made the top toy charts. Providing endless opportunities for Play-Doh to get trodden into your carpet over Christmas. Anyway.
You know, I had Play-Doh as a kid. But
yeah, I remember Play-Doh as a kid.
Always kept the lid on tight or it dries up.
Yes, it would.
And it always had like a bitter taste to it.
Oh, you were trying to eat it, too.
Oh, yeah, because you always made those little moon
pies. That's kind of scary.
You made those moon pies, you know, and try and taste them.
Number 9. OMG House of Surprises LOL Dolls.
Jeez.
A sustainable wooden house with kitchen, pool, cinema, diner, and roof terrace with more than 85 surprise reveals. This is obviously a girl's toy, I guess. Okay, number 8. The Matchbox MBX Electric Drivers 12-pack. That sounds kind of cool. Well, I remember the Matchbox.
We just had
toys.
The Matchbox cars.
Yes.
And that was it.
Those were cool.
Yeah.
The mini-sized, accurate modeling and collectability of Matchbox cars ensures they are loved now as they always have been. Number 7. I'm sure you have this one, Ed. This is the Kamalan Boo Boo JJ plush doll.
I had the Boo Boo, but not the JJ.
JJ has become a friendly companion for millions of children, so it stands to reason they'd want him as a buddy to take around the house and to shop. Okay, number 6. Bluey's Talking Bluey plush. I don't even know what I just said. Press her tummy to hear her favorite phrases. Quote, Bluey is hilarious. The show is genuinely funny, and it's a clean and wholesome reflection on typical family life with a lovely animation style. All right, Bluey must be a little cartoon character. Number 5, Gabby's Perfect Dollhouse. Back in the charts for a second year, Gabby's cat-shaped house features a delivery tower with a lift, or what they call a cativator, and is sold with lights, music, and a furniture pack included. Pretty impressive. All right. Number 4. Remember Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Spider-Man Titan Hero. Okay. The action figure of choice for this Christmas, thanks to the release of the Spider-Man 2 game, I guess it is, and the Across the Spider-Verse film. So they always get these toys out for, you know, in connection with that. Number 3. Lego City Arctic Explorer Ship.
Lego's Lego, yeah.
Lego's Lego, yeah. The Lego City range is better than ever this Christmas, with a large number of imaginative and aspirational sets, including an eco house with electric car. Oh, you'd love that, Ed. Electric car, ski resort, and a hospital with a maternity unit.
Wait a minute.
Ooh, boy. Okay, real quickly then. Let's see. Number 2. Bitty Pop, Harry Potter's 4-pack Series 1. Shrunk down versions of vinyl collectibles. Okay, number 1.
Probably, we always...
What do you think?
What happened to Mattel, you know?
Well, this is close. Barbie the movie doll.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Barbie the movie doll. Fresh from the set of the Barbie movie and her Blue Planet matching set. Outfits have sold out already. There you go, the Barbie.
Remember the thing you used to heat up and you put the plastic, make plastic things in the oven thing, whatever?
Yeah, that was a scary
thought.
Everything
that was good was made by Mattel, by the way.
Yeah, Mattel was always great. All right, thanks so much. We're going to be gone for the next several shows, so you have a very...